Precious Lord, this morning we know you're alive. We praise your name. Oh, how we thank you for what you've done for us and what you do for us. And one day you're going to call us home to be with you, and we want to be ready. And right now, Father, I just pray that the power of the risen Savior would be a power that's actualized in every life today. Father, thank you for the greatest gift of all, the gift of your love, that you conquered sin, death, and the grave for each one of us. And Father, as we come to you this morning, I know that there's many praises to be offered. As we had mentioned, we praise you for the new little one in our family. I praise you for answered prayer. I thank you, Father, for the way that you've been touching and saving lives. And we've heard of people coming to know Jesus just this week, and maybe this morning in this service, there might be somebody that's outside the ark of safety that does not yet have you as your personal their personal Savior. And this could be the morning that they would say yes to you. Father, may it be so. May they just open up their hearts and lives to you. And as we come before you today, we come as a needy people. We need your grace and we need your mercy, and we know that you extend it. And I just ask that you'd be at the point of need. You know the names that are on the prayer list. You know the needs even before we ask. May each of those be an opportunity that we might see your grace and your love flow. And might the power of the risen, resurrected, alive God and Savior be with every one of us today. Might we see the fact that he lives in the midst of every circumstance that we take and every step that we take, that you're there to lead us and to guide us. We just need to grab a hold of your hand and walk with you. Father, today, this is your day. All around the world, as people celebrate the risen Savior, I just pray that you'll be with them in church buildings and under trees and in fields and by streams and in homes and wherever they might be today, gathering as your people. As your word is opened up, may it be alive, just as alive as you are. We thank you and praise you this morning, and all of God's people said, amen and amen. Our scripture reading for today comes from Luke chapter 24, two different passages, verses 1 through 12, then picking up again at verse 36. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices that they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb when they had entered, and they did not find the body of Jesus. Think of it. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that were gleaming like lightning stood beside them. And in their fright, the women bowed with their heads to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you when he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man would be delivered into the hands of sinful men and crucified on the third day and raised again." And they remembered his words. Then they came back from the tomb, told all of these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Jonah, Mary the mother of James, and others that were with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women. Still don't believe the women. God help us, guys. Because their words seemed to be like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb, bending over. He saw the strips of linen lying by themselves. He went away wondering in themselves what had happened. A little bit later in verse 36, the disciples are locked in a room away. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be to you." They were startled and frightened, thinking that they'd seen a ghost. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do you doubt? Rise up in your minds. Look at my hands. Look at my feet. It is myself. Touch me and see. A ghost doesn't have flesh or bones, as you have seen that I have." When he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet, and while they still not believed because of the joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Then he opened their minds so that they would understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written, that Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all the nations, witnessing beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with the power from on high. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. They could not. But you know, they tried. And people still try. It seems so easy to keep Jesus cornered up, bottled up, shut up, and try not to let him out. But try as you might, he's going to get out. He's not going to stay in. He's going to come out, and he did. But think about it for just a moment in the eyes of the disciple, because really we're disciples, we're apostles. If you'd had the privilege of being able to be chosen by Jesus to walk with him and be with him on his ministry, they had been with him for 3 years. They had seen him do incredible things. Hey, calm a storm. Walk on water. Take a kid's Happy Meal and feed a mountainside. Turn water into wine. Raise the dead. Drive out demons out of one into a legion of pigs, and the pigs jump off the cliff. And the list goes on and on. Scripture really, I don't think, records all the miracles that Jesus did. In fact, John, I believe, says, you know, the books could not contain all that he had done and talked about. The disciples that had a front row seat and been right there, still they didn't understand. Wednesday night, we were in here and we broke bread together around the table. My mind went back to what Jesus was trying to say to the disciples that night as he broke the bread and he passed the cup. He knew that Calvary was right in front of him. He knew that what for years he had been saying, my time had not yet come, that his time was coming and it was almost there, in which he would pay the ultimate price for all of their sins and go to Calvary. And he did. He took our sins upon himself, he who was innocent, and he went there to Calvary, and he went through the mockery of a trial. He was abused. He was scourged. He was made to carry his cross. He was nailed to the cross. And he was hung there between two thieves. And we know that he cried, Abba, Abba, Sabbatini, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And pretty soon, he said, it is finished. Of all those 12 disciples, apostles, one had already betrayed him to cause him to go to Calvary. 11 were left. The 11 that were left, they went and they hid. They hid away in a room. Here, Jesus was taken off the cross. He was placed in a borrowed tomb. Nicholas and Joseph of Arimathea put him in a tomb that Joseph of Arimathea owned. It was sealed up with a big stone and sealed around it, and Jesus was tucked away, dead and buried. The disciples go to a room. They really went back to their hometown, and they found a place to go into in a room, and I can see that they bolted the door, they went inside, they huddled in the center, they tried not to make too much noise because they didn't want anybody to know that they were there. Why? As the expression goes, they were scared spitless. Their Lord, their Savior, the one who they thought would be the one that would establish a kingdom on this earth and that they would be at his right hand and left hand to rule, had been crucified and was dead and buried. They've taken our Lord away. All that we've invested in these last 3 years, it just seems like it's rolling over in our mind. Could there have been something that I could have done different that would have kept this from happening? Could there have been something that I could have done that Jesus would be alive, just as alive as these flowers are? Thank you for giving them. Take them home with you when you leave today. Enjoy the living Christ in your home and among your family. He is alive. He is alive. But to those disciples, they had huddled in that room and they just didn't want anything to happen. And they were so scared that would somebody who had taken Jesus would come and get them too. You ever been chased? You ever been scared for your life? The disciples were scared for their lives. They're in there, shuddering in their fear. And they hear a sound on the outside. And the sound that they hear on the outside is ladies' voices. It's familiar-sounding voices. Oh, guys, you got to know, he's alive, he's alive, he's not at the tomb, he's not at the tomb. What do you mean he's not at the tomb? Can you believe what those ladies are saying? It's too early, I can imagine, it's too early in the day, they shouldn't be drunk on with wine. And we thought shepherds told tall tales. These ladies are telling a tall tale. That's a cruel joke, folks. They killed our Savior, and you're saying that the body's gone? No. He's alive. He's not there. There were two angels there that told us that he is risen. He's not here. The disciples, I can just see, probably Peter and Andrew, picked up the bar off of the door, and Peter says, I got to go for myself. You know, he was always the one, I got to go see for myself. And he runs to the tomb, and one of the other gospel writers has another apostle that's running with him, and they go in, and they look in and see, and the tomb is empty. The grave clothes are folded there to the side, and they see that he's not there. It is an empty tomb. And Peter, I don't know, he doesn't know, it's a mixed emotion. I don't know if I should laugh, I don't know if I should cry, I don't know if I should smile, I don't know if I should be even more scared than I am right now. All I know is he's not here and I don't quite know how to compute it all. And Peter goes back to the room where they were hiding. Peter, what'd you see? What'd you see? Oh, what did you guys see? You're not going to believe it. We looked inside. The tomb is empty. He wasn't there. There was an angel that had said that he's risen. He's risen from the grave, just as he had said 3 days later. You mean we've been in this room for 3 days, all scared? Yeah. The very Jesus who we lived and served and walked with and who taught us and we got to share in miracles with him, he's risen from the grave. And about that time, right in the middle of the room, there was Jesus. Could that be Jesus? Don't be afraid, guys. It's me. I came to bring peace to you. For the last few days, you've been living in fear. For the last 2 days, you have been so scared. You've been scared of your own shadow. And now this morning, I want you to know, I'm not a ghost. You're not seeing a ghost. You're seeing Jesus the Christ, and I'm here among you. And what I think what's so important about that to understand, when they would have gone back in, the way the language is, he appeared in the midst of a closed room. The door wasn't open for him to walk through. He just appeared. Jesus has this habit of doing that, doesn't he? He just kind of appears on the scene. When we need him most, when we're scared the most, when we don't know what to do, suddenly, there's Jesus. He's not dead. He's alive. He's not dead. He's alive. But why is it that we apostles down through the ages kind of become like those apostles. The greatest gift of all, the price that's been paid on Calvary, he paid by shedding his blood and giving of his life, shedding tears and blood for us, crucified, dead, and buried. And we as disciples want to go somewhere and hide. Our Jesus died for us. But for a great many who profess Jesus, they stop right there. They live life as though Jesus were still dead. He's not. The tomb couldn't hold him. The cross could not keep him. They couldn't keep him sealed up. He arose. And he arose a victor to a new day. And for we who are his disciples, who want to live discouraged, defeated, hidden lives away in the room, I think Jesus appears in the midst of the room, and he appears in the midst of the room to say, hey, peace to you, and guys, you need to get out of here and get out into the world. You need to let them know that you've seen me and I'm alive. You need to let them know that I've shared a meal with you. You need to let them know that I've said, touch me and see, feel and see. And know that I'm just as real now, even more real now, than I've ever been before. Because I'm the resurrected Christ. And I have resurrection power to give to you. And that resurrection power, Fred, is a power that our world needs. Our world needs to be able to look and see and touch that Jesus is alive, that the cross couldn't contain him, that the grave couldn't hold him, that he could break through the bonds of sin, death, and the grave, and that he's alive. I've been thinking about this all week long. Why is it that we want to keep him on the cross? Why is it that we want to keep him in the grave? The stone needs to be rolled away. The stone needs to be rolled away in our hearts and our minds and in our thoughts and our actions. We need to get outside and let the world know that the grave couldn't hold him. It ain't going to hold us either. We're not going to hide out till Jesus comes again. We're going to share with the world that he appeared in among us. He's come in the midst of our deep sorrow. He's come in the midst of the darkest time in your life. He's come to say, I'm here. I'm here. You can touch me. And I think the part that I like the best, and I can put my arms around you, and I can give you my strength and my power and my love. Because not only do you need it, but those in your world need it. I think the message of Christmas and the message of Easter are all wrapped up in the same thing. We can't just put him in a box and keep him in a corner. We can't just seal him off. We got to let him out. He needs to be let out in your life and in mine. He needs to be let out in the situations that you face and the challenges that I face. We need to understand that we serve a Lord who is a risen Savior, and we got resurrection power available to us, and we can go out in the strength of Jesus' name and in the power of his resurrection presence and know that we can go out and let the world know just simply by being his followers that he can make a difference. This morning, got up early drinking a cup of coffee, looked on Fox News on my iPad, and I saw here one article where a lady was really having a tough time. She showed up at a coffee shop, and the baristas in this coffee shop, I believe is in the state of Washington, two baristas in the coffee shop stopped and prayed for her in the coffee shop. Oh, we live in a world that Christians, we got to stay hidden. You know, you got to worship the Lord in secret. You got to be, no one needs to know that. Don't you dare share your faith with someone else. Don't infringe on their rights. But two baristas that were serving coffee held her hands and prayed for her. You can look it up. the power of God that was in that room is the same kind of power that's available for each of us. When we go out and witness in his name, he's alive. Oh, they tried to keep him in the grave. They could not. And we don't need to try to keep him in the grave either. He needs to come out of the grave in our lives. He went to the cross for us, amen? And what he did there, we couldn't do. He paid the price that we could not pay. He went to the tomb. Oh, yes, he did. He went, and he holds the keys now of sin, death, and a grave. But the grave couldn't hold him. He let himself out. And he comes in the midst of your room. And I know there's times, I like you, we get scared and we want to lock ourselves away. We want to keep the world outside. But suddenly, we kind of like rub our eyes and here's Jesus. And Jesus is saying, hey, the grave couldn't hold me, son or daughter. I'm alive. And you just simply need to get out of this room and take me and my resurrection power with you and let the world know he is alive. What's our homework assignment, Pastor, this week? Leave from this room when you do. Go into your world this week and let them know Jesus is alive. Stand together with us, please. I hope that you'll take the message of the fact that we can't keep him in the grave. He is alive, and it's going to be a glorious day when he comes back again to take his church home with him. We're so glad that you're here and trust that you'll have a great week. And Scott, we want you to know, as your church family, we're going to be praying for you as you go back to Afghanistan. Thank you for your service, sir. Honored to have you here. How about a hand for him and all of our military personnel as they're serving around the world? Let's pray together. Precious Lord, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. You went to Calvary for us. You went to the tomb for us. And you came into that locked-in room for us to say, I bring you peace. I've come to fulfill all the scriptures. You can touch me and feel and see. I'm alive. And maybe that's the message that everyone or anyone here in the sound of my voice needs. You're still alive. You haven't died again. You didn't need to die again. You're alive, and you're alive in the situations that we face. Father, may we take the living Lord not only into our life and our family, but take it out into our world and let them know that as he overconquered death for himself and for us, he can do it for them. He is risen, and he is risen indeed. And everyone said, amen, and God bless you as you share his love.